You're listening to Drake in the Morning with Wes and Sid on 98.1 The Max.
And then today you've got Ben Affleck, and some of the boys are making their little comments. And some actor whose name I've never heard before said that he was groped at a party by somebody.
No. Oh, Terry Crews from Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Brave man to grope Terry Crews. He's not small.
I'll take your word for it. I don't know, and nor do I care about any of this. It's just one more, you know, seamy and sleazy thing, and I'll bet you a beer that in a year Weinstein's back at work making millions again.
Well, I mean, it's kind of crazy that this is all, and the disgusting part about it really is the politicization of it, where you're having all this, you know. What's Hillary saying? What's Barack Obama saying? They both come out against it.
Really?
They are not
for it then.
Well, they are not. Their friend and donor, Harvey Weinstein, they have condemned. But, you know, we're only about a year and a week, maybe a year and a few days removed from the Access Hollywood tape. And, you know, Donald Trump is now president of the United States of America. So
nobody cares.
This is really some selective outrage, and you can understand why. The women who haven't come forward or just now coming forward in this late date are so reticent to, and that's something we all have to look at, specifically those of us that are men, and you know, sit there and say, is this really the kind of community we want to foster, and have we been turning a blind eye for too long? I mean
there's been talk about the you know, casting couch for a long time. And you have to assume that it is true in some cases, but what percentage of women who enter this business are faced, you know, I mean, is this guy that much of a swine, or are there more like him? This has been going on since the 20s and 30s and 40s, I would suspect, and no one said much about it. But it pops up, but in this case, it was so egregious and so... But this went on for so long. Why did someone just now speak up?
Because he was a powerful man that had a lot of control in Hollywood, and Hollywood, like DC and a lot of industries, is a closed system where there's, you know, kingmakers on top. And if you make the king mad, you're going to suffer the consequences for it. I mean, it's really futile. And it's not the only industry that's like that. And that's why
politics, I would say, maybe.
I would even bleed this over to, you know, a lot of the stuff that we weren't supposed to politize, you know, after that tragic shooting in Vegas about guns is, you know, at some point, not that there aren't laws that are on the books or need to be on the books on either of these cases, but it comes down to a sort of a cultural choice that we're making as a country that we really need to reexamine, whether it's our love affair with, you know, powerful men mistreating women, or our love affair with guns, that we need to ask ourselves, you know, is this how we teach our kids to behave?
Yep.
You know, I mean, what we can do better than this without discussing it as a society rather than as tribalist politics that is what it's boiling down to on either side, where people retreat to their own corners. I mean, this is something you don't need Washington or Nashville or the city council or the county commission to sit there and solve this problem for you. I mean, this is something that individually we can all sit there and say, you know, we're not going to tolerate this behavior anymore. And you know, I think that's where the conversation needs to go instead of the shouting match.
Yeah, that seems to be, but that's just how we, I guess, have been taught to conduct business. I mean, this goes down to the level of, let's say that all these, you know, judge shows. Judge Judy is watched by more people. And that woman makes $42 million bucks a year. But we have turned, I mean, that's on the TV. That's how we deal with stuff, is by watching that, or, you know, Maury Povich, or You know, that's how we decide what's right and what's wrong. And then you get to the much bigger level, like guns and things. But this gun issue is not going to ever change. And it is ugly, and it is politics. It's all based around money. I ran down the top 10 senators who've taken the most money from the NRA in the past. John McCain was on top, but he's the oldest, so he should win. But I said last Tuesday, this whole thing is so horrible, and I predict that this coming weekend, Wayne LaPierre will be on TV, and he will say the same things he says every time. He was on Face the Nation on a Sunday. They are not going to talk about bump stocks, which just now came up after this shooting. There are allegations, and there are various sources that I have heard from that say that these bump stocks were never used. These guns were already full of they were already machine gun type weapons. This whole thing is so convoluted. The answer is never going to be found. There have been 1,000 different leads they have followed. Nobody has a motive. Nobody has an answer. The answers I've heard, I am not privy to go on to, not on the air. I won't do it because they sound too correct to be, well, we shouldn't even bring them up. It's a real, real mess. And the sex thing, though, with Weinstein, I would bet you if you stopped on the street downtown Memphis about 15 people and asked them, what are your thoughts on this Harvey Weinstein case? They'd go, who's Harvey Weinstein?
Yeah.
They don't know or care.
But they are important markers. And again, the idea that we're going to pass some law, and I've said this on this program, because we've unfortunately had more than one of these shootings to talk about, prohibition doesn't work in our country. And so the idea not that there aren't reasonable things that can be done, but the idea that that's how we're going to solve our issue with guns is through legislative fiat
go away
is completely misplaced.
Yeah, it's not going to work.
It's got to come from the home, the person's sense of personal responsibility and self-worth. And we've got to deal with our culture that, even what we're dealing with in our city with the rash of shootings that we solve disagreements with the muzzle of a gun. It doesn't have to be that way.
But we can get back
to discourse, and even with the sex stuff you need to be able to talk to people about this and not fear retribution, and people can't be able to walk through the cloak because it's not just Harvey Weinstein. If we try and make him our Judas goat, He's a reprehensible scumbag for what he did.
He's the poster boy for it this month.
But, yeah, a year ago, Hollywood celebrity was being accused of the same thing. 15 women came forward, and he's now president of the United States. This is something we've got to grapple with about who we are.
Anthony Weiner is going to jail for showing shots of his dong. This is rampant, and there's a part of my brain that just doesn't accept that anybody could ever do that and not think it would come back to haunt them and ruin their lives. But the problem is that these people get caught at this and they either A, become president, they get their old job back. I'm telling you that in a year's time that Wines, he'll be back in a big, gigantic job with somebody in Hollywood. His wife left him. He lost... When your brother fires your ass, you've messed up pretty bad. His wife left him. He has young kids. He's gone to rehab in Europe. Well, how gauche. And so once all of this plays itself out, and this should be out of the news cycle by, I'm guessing, Monday, it all goes away. The other guy, well, he's the president, and he can say stuff like, grab him by the thing. And, hey, that's just how guys talk. That's just how guys do business is the assumption, like Weinstein did in Los Angeles for, 20 years? And it was okay until the past week?
Yeah. That's the issue.
It goes round and round and round and round. And it has been talked about. But we are so conditioned to hear about these things, these horrible things that happen, and we all go, oh my God, I can't believe it. And then we go back to watching The Voice, and then we wait again until the next time it happens, and we go, oh, this is awful. We should ban these. You're not going to ban guns ever. You're not going to ban drugs ever. They're not going to go away. You're wasting your emotion and wasting government's time. And it's just, these are issues, as you say, that are personal, but we can't fix everybody. But it's gotten to a point, you know, around this town, these aren't really even conflicts. These are young, immature kids with guns who get into some kind of a fight on a basketball court and then shoot each other.
Yeah.
There's no planning that. They're just doing it because they can. It's all they know about how
conflict
to...
Conflict resolution.
Conflict resolution. That's how you do it. You just shoot them.
Yeah, and that's it goes to where we are, you know, the crossroads we're at as a country where, and a community and everything where it's gotten that out of control here, and we've got to bring it back. And government has a role to play, but it's not the only one.
No.
If you're constantly looking to that, you're going to be disappointed time and time again. And we have to address that. And you know, it's reaching kids, it's mentoring kids, it's just creating more opportunity for us to be good again, as opposed to just be angry.
Well, a bunch of angry people exist, and we have the never-ending tug of war in this country over politic, over race, over what foods to eat. I mean, it's just a remarkable line of this. It just makes you lose the words for how to discuss it, and you see something new every day that makes you shake your head. Yesterday, I think that Amarsha Blackburn achieved her purpose, which was to get some national news for her Twitter thing that was entirely a lie and based in no fact whatsoever. Her little ad over baby body parts, which was a denigration of Planned Parenthood. The two don't really have much in common. The part that she did not choose to point out was that this whole thing was tossed out of court and it was all a bunch of made up nonsense, but it got her a bunch of press, and she is taking the road that Mr. Trump took to get attention and say the most outrageous thing she can. Thereby she now gets the attention of the extreme conservatives who are going, hell yeah, you tell them, honey. And that's what she's trying to achieve. I just wonder, though, if he is the last case, the last person who will get away with that kind of campaign due to what is happening 9.5 months into his presidency. I saw last night, and I never before have seen this, on the Drudge Report, which is a conservative kind of news site. And usually you see the polls. There's the Pew poll. There's the ABC News, New York Times
Reuters,
poll.
Yeah.
There were 12 of them. One of them was Fox News, and they listed them by week. They had week before last week, and so they run down every one of these things, and then they come to one number. And it was incredible to see how consistent they were, even Fox News, with their thoughts on how Trump is handling himself. And when Fox News is at about 34%, along with everybody else as far as going, hell yeah, you know that people are noticing. The numbers are also showing up as weakening in the, you know, smaller towns of America and the blue-collar people that voted this man into office, thinking somehow that he was their guy and there to help him. So my point is that all of this bombastic, all the bullying, all the nickname calling, little Bob Corker, I mean, come on, man. But people are growing weary of it.
Sort of.
Sort of, but you... get a sense, though, that not everybody is as dumb as we think they are. But here she goes, Miss Blackburn, trying the same approach out of the chute. And you wonder if for the next 18 months, this will be her tack.
Yes, because, you know, all of this comes down to, despite the soaring rhetoric and the speeches and the, you know, rallies or what have you, politics is ultimately a game of the math. And when you look at the math of that 33% or 34%, they are going to be overwhelmingly Republican, and the support President Trump that in right track sort of thing, and they're going to vote in the primary. You know, it's a majority of a minority in, you know, small votes. We talk about it all the time because, you know, this is my new, you know, if you, my axe to grind is the primary, you combining safe gerrymandered districts. And let me be very clear. This applies to both parties
in every state.
It is a pox on both their houses.
Yeah.
A heavily gerrymandered district and a primary system. You are getting this where we are just being pulled apart completely. There's a graph I saw over the weekend that if you look at 1994, the differences between the values of the political parties was a very, very thin line. 2004, it got a little wider. By 2014, it is a chasm. The middle and moderates across this this country are being left behind because you start getting these binary choices. And if you're running as a Republican, you better be the most conservative son of a bitch out there, because that's who's going to vote in the primary. And then if you're a Democrat, you better be the most liberal son of a bitch out there, because that is who's going to vote in that primary.
And vocal about it.
And then you're left with, tragically, a binary choice of, well, do I go this way or do I go that way? And that's why even most people that identify as independents, which is the vast majority of people now.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Good.
But,
well, that's encouraging,
it's kind of illusory, because those independents generally end up always voting for a Democrat or always voting for a Republican because of the way we structure our choices.
Yeah.
And we need to take a good long look at it, because if, you know, right here in our own community, you look at the congressional districts, Congressman Cohen's congressional district, District 9, very, very safe Democratic district. A Republican is not going to win that district. That is not going to happen mathematically. So the person sitting in that chair, whether it's Congressman Cohen or whoever, they only have to worry about being primaried on the left. You go up to District 8, Congressman Kustoff's district. That's a safe Republican district. A Democrat is not going to win. So he only has to worry about being primaried on his right. So we're constantly pulling our political system farther and farther apart, while the rest of the country is staying where they always have been, but their choices are just dwindling.
Right.
There's less options on the menu. There's less nuance. So, you know, when you start seeing all the people running for governor, or all the people that will be filling in for that Senator Corker's Senate seat, you're going to see more and more of this type of talk, because that's who talks to the primary voter, and primary voters are where these things are won and lost.
That's
because
the
of the way
bunch, yeah.
the way we have set up our system. It's producing the result that it's designed to produce. We just need to decide we're not okay with this result. We'd like a little more intelligent conversation. We'd like there to be a place for compromise in our politics. We don't want to demonize the other side just because we disagree about tax policy. I mean, can you imagine hating someone that you know because y'all disagree about a tax policy? That's like, you know, and some idiot friend of mine who might not think that Die Hard's the best movie ever, when in fact it is the best movie ever, but
agreed.
I'm not going to hate them over it. Right. I'm just going to point and laugh.
Right.
You know, so I think, again, the great news about America is we have it in our power to fix it. The challenge is getting people to plug in the right port. And the right port is not the outrage machine of, can you believe what these people are doing? No. There's always going to be something you can be outraged about. Outrage is an incredibly unproductive emotion, and we need to get on a more rational discourse and look at our system and say, we just went through a hellacious campaign with the two most unpopular presidential candidates in history. Clearly, we're not doing this right. We can fix it. We the people can fix it, and you got to remain hopeful that's going to happen.
Shane Flynn's our guest. That all seems to be just right on the money. But that seems so impossibly light years away. We can't even get these two parties to get together to discuss health care. They refuse to go have some coffee or a meeting and talk out some of the big issues that affect all these people by the millions. We can't even get that accomplished. Now this tax issue, which is not been really fleshed out properly and or explained, and is the usual thing that you would expect from that party and from a guy like Mr. Trump. But nobody knows exactly the specifics because there aren't any. And we can't get the parties together on issues like this. So how in the hell can we ever expect to go on some kind of a campaign to regroup, maybe blow up this two-party system, or at least find ways to compromise and get somebody with some common sense in there that wants to be president? In this right now, who in their right mind would take on this job? The division just within the parties is so screwed up, especially the GOP. Good God, they all hate each other. And you haven't heard Paul Ryan's name this week or Mitch McConnell. All you've heard is Bob Corker, because Bob is making the most noise and setting himself up to run for the presidency in about 3 years too. And there's so much division in the worst possible places that getting back to the, just to the starting point where it should be, seems almost impossible.
It's impossible if you look at it from a presidential prism, because that's not where the change is going to come from. It can't come from the top. It's got to come at the bottom. That's why you got to look to those school board races, the county commission races, the city council races. That's where the change starts. That's where the bench is being developed. Yep. And you go from there to a state house, and then you start looking at these federal offices. But, local matters, and, just like everyone says in radio all the time, hyper local.
Yeah.
We need to get hyper local on this stuff. And that will lead us the way out of there. Because once people realize, hey, this can work, but you got to get believers out there. And that's the tough thing to do.
Keeps coming up. But then again, the other side of that is the number of people who are so disenchanted with the process. And those that are involved in the process that run for office, they seem to be not our best and brightest. And so that begins to make people that really want to get engaged go, this is my choice. Like you just said about the last two that ran for the presidency. So you're faced with this list of candidates and they begin to show their true colors. And so those of us who really would like to, just be involved and devoted with heart, mind, and soul toward helping them and, changing things, it's a disappointment to see what you have to choose from. And that's, I think, there's a new book out, which you should read, which anybody should read. And it's not really aimed at either party. Yes, it is kind of. But it is a real look at the grassroots stuff, like you just said. Al Franken's book is extremely smart. And this guy, he had no shot to ever be in the Senate. He was a Harvard graduate that went on to write comedy for Saturday Night Live for 15 years, and no one took him seriously. But his hometown, his mentor, was a gentleman who was killed in a plane crash. So he was so committed to carrying on that man's legacy and what he believed in, which was helping people and fixing things in their town, in their district, in their state. So he began, and I mean, this guy had no shot in hell of being, he just wasn't going to be taken. He was a joke. Well, he spent time with Harry Reid and with Chuck Schumer and other people and convinced them, I will work myself till I bleed to prove to you that I can do this. And here's how: by starting local and going to every bean supper and everything else and shaking every hand and just trying to explain to people why I want this job and what I can do.
The retail politics as opposed to Congressman Blackburn's wholesale politics, which is the grainy political ads that you see on TV where so-and-so is the son of the devil.
But this is the nature of the beast right now. And that's why the things that you say, however right they may be, and maybe someday we will come back to that, you know, full circle. Right now, we are entrenched, ensconced in crap like this. And this is 18 months away. And that's her opening salvo, is this. So I just foresee a year of television ads like this.
Oh, yes. Yes, that will happen.
It's not going to change right now.
But it is a switch that can be flipped, because
people will finally have enough, I think. But this has to start, you know, with these folks that are so disenfranchised, and the ones that are living, you know, check to check, and the blue collar types, and all of them, the ones that put all of their faith in this guy to come in there and take care of them, which was the damnedest thing I've ever seen in my life. That you people that are out there, you know, starving to death in the heartland of Iowa, believe that this guy is going to come in and that he really cares about you. Are you serious?
Well, it's, but we can get back to that if people just stop incentivizing it. When the partial baby part ads stop working, politicians will stop using them.
Exactly right. But how do you flick that switch? I mean, how do you, you know, perhaps the current mess that we seem to be in with the endless chaos and the endless bullying and the endless concern, the undercurrent of anxiety in this country about the future of the country and the current, let's just say, there are many, many problems, and maybe the heightened awareness of how messed up this is and how we got here is what opens the door to new thinking.
It has to be. You know, we can't, there is a tremendous amount of anxiety in the country as a whole.
Everyone feels it.
Everyone feels it, and it's, you know, it would be disingenuous to sit there and that's not to say there's not great things happening. There are, but it would be disingenuous to just ignore that sort of pall that's over the country. And as long as, and this is the fatal flaw I see in where we've gone as a democracy, is as long as we're looking for the Messiah to come and save us by being elected to office, it's going to fail. It's up to the people. You get the representation that you earn.
Mm-hmm.
And we, as a citizens of this great country, have a responsibility to get plugged in and to insist that we do it a better way. You know, my hat's off to Senator Corker. I think he's trying to bring some rationality, and unfortunately he's having to get in the mud on this, because we should not be having a politics where we're trading elementary school insults
fifth
over
grade
social
bullying
media
and nicknames. It's unbelievable. And I, yesterday there was a piece that now Corker is being accused of doing this on purpose to put himself in a position to do whatever, but he is going to be in this gig for what, 18 more months. Foreign relations is his job, and so he has to work with his president on North Korea, on Iraq, on Iran, on that whole. But he and this guy are having a little, bitch fight on the playground with name calling. And it was pointed out in a story yesterday that was a serious piece. And I went, are you kidding me? When he called Corker Little, spelled L-I-D-D-L-E, either he can't spell or he was trying to be cute. But it was mentioned that Mr. Trump is 6'3". And he was on the list of candidates to be the VP until Trump learned that he was 5'7". And he was immediately, this little dude is not going to cut it. And so if that didn't open up the wound right there, but now it's somebody new every day. And I just don't understand how this president can survive when he has run off everybody who he needs on his side. He can't get anything done. John McCain's going to die, and nobody else wants to play with him. And it's this singular, insular thing in a job that needs the support of both parties.
It's not a question of survival. He can survive by rallying his base and
looking. 30% ain't going to always go that far.
Well, until it's a choice between them and whatever demonic liberal communist Democrat they have to choose between.
Oh, they'll find one.
We kind of put it in that sort of black and white world where good and bad,
and that's the problem.
It's nonsense, but it's not a question of survival. It's a question of effectiveness. I mean, you look at it locally with what Mayor Strickland said. I'm going to just be brilliant at the basics. If President Trump came out and said, you know what, I'm not going to have my Twitter feed and I'm just going to be brilliant at the basics of government, it would change things.
Attitude would change overnight.
Yeah. So I mean,
why can't someone make him explain that one? He would just stop tweeting. The attitude toward him would change considerably among the people, among his colleagues, and he might get something accomplished.
Because that's what is driving the Republicans crazy right now, is their lack of legislative accomplishment.
They have none.
And that goes back to, and again, it's a pox on both their houses. We get caught up in these culture wars because they're good for turning out the vote. They're horrible for governing us. Mm-hmm. When everything become, this scumbag producer out in Hollywood becomes a culture war issue, we are heading down keep your eye on the ball, MFers.
Yeah.
I mean, this is just, we got North Korea. That's a real situation. We've got Puerto Rico where 38% of the people still don't have water.
Yep.
Water, H2O, not worried. Let's
85% have no power.
Yeah.
And we're sitting here with our crank in our hand.
Yelling about football.
This should be someone's campaign slogan for next year. Keep your eye on the ball, MFers. They would win.
I mean, but that's what it comes down to.
People just, they are too distracted by who's on The Voice and Dancing with the Stars and their phone to be bothered by any of this. And that's the part I think that I find so stupefying. Look around at what's happening to the world. Nope, I'm sorry, I'm busy with my new emojis. and the new iPhone that I just got.
I've never used an emoji in my life. I will never use an emoji in my life. That is a vow that I have made.
That probably is that's a pretty impressive thing to it. But the world we live in, we are so self-obsessed. And this other stuff that's going on is only on the TV. And we really don't pay attention. But maybe this is the time. Maybe this is a collapse of this government as we know it in its current form that provides a new path to something different that works. But it'll be a step at a time, and it'll be locally, and yes, that's where it has to begin. And I would suspect that across this country that other folks are having the same observation, that that's where these old guys in politics, that's where they all began. Where did JFK start? In Boston, and yeah, up there, you know,
yeah, it all.
Where did LBJ start? At every freaking barbecue event and picnic in Texas, that's where they get their groundswell of support. Then it gets bigger, and it goes on and on and on. But now it seems like people can drop out of a TV show, and suddenly they're the president, and
That's not the best strategy.
That isn't really the best approach for the American people. Not that he isn't a smart man, but when there's a book out written by 27 psychiatrists called The Dangers of Donald Trump, you have to wonder what we're dealing with here. And this is a tired thing, and everybody either agrees or disagrees that he knows what he's doing. But the numbers are becoming concerning. North Korea is a concern. He had a meeting yesterday with all the generals, which was covered by nobody. That was on Drudge, I believe, as well. But all of these things going on, and it seems like it's a game to him. But that's why we come back to this anxiety issue. Shea Flynn is here. We're on the same old discussion that we always have, but it's such an ongoing fascination to watch what's happening. It's hard to not get drawn into it and just keep waiting for something to happen to shake people up and go, enough.
I've got one modest proposal, and this will go to another one of our recurring segments, the Get Off Our Lawn segment.
Yes, certainly.
A new study has come out about our smartphones and how much dumber they're making us.
Yes.
They gave a test of problem solving to people, and some had to leave their smartphone in the room, some had to put it away, and some had to put it out in front of me like I've got right now. And those that have it out in front of me like I have right now did worse on the test. Even when it's not on, even when you're not looking at it, it's stealing your focus away. So at some point there probably needs to be a back to the flip phone model as a country, because these things are taking over our lives, and they're not I'm not sure the cost benefit analysis is really there with them anymore.
But this runs parallel to the same thing as Facebook, which I think is the Antichrist. Facebook is a gigantic problem, and something has to give there too. And there are some folks that are stepping and fetching, trying to fix that problem, because it's a problem. I heard a psychiatrist or somebody of some renown that wasn't a flake on some talk show someplace somewhere, or read this, and he was talking about addiction in America. And good Lord, we have the opioid addiction, and that's no joke. And we have alcohol and drugs. And he said, you know what the biggest addiction in America is your phone and social media. It's an addiction, and you cannot escape it to pay attention to the birds, to the trees, to your kids, to your wife. You're too consumed by this bullcrap. How many likes you've got on your recent Instagram picture to your Facebook, whatever that it is. But this is a problem. It's an addiction and a distraction. we have created or that somebody did for us to turn us all into dummies. And then the next thing is the robot factor. And when they control it, they control your mind, and we're all screwed.
Yeah, Skynet.
All right, so let's talk about something just for a second that I have not asked you in 2 weeks, either on or off the air. This business about county mayor that was in the flyer and on some polls, and I thought, I know Shea pretty well, and I'm not going to call and ask him, are you insane?
That should be obvious.
I'll just wait and just do it here. Is there any credence to that discussion?
I mean, there's credence in that at one point this summer, I was approached by some people about potentially running. And anytime that happens, you look at it. And it's something I have looked at and, you know, continue to look at. You know, so I'm not going to say yes and I'm not going to say no. I mean, okay. I'm pretty happy with where I am right now. In life.
So you are insane.
No question.
Okay, good.
But as I've talked about on this program a lot, and including today, I'm so disillusioned with the primary system mm-hmm. that I can't particularly imagine running through one of those gauntlets.
After what you saw on the city council for 7 years.
But the city council was nonpartisan, so that was a little bit
better. Yeah, but still, it had you pulling your hair out in tufts. So you are still contemplating and won't say yay or nay on that one?
No. And that sounds like such a wishy-washy political answer. But I don't want to sit there and say, yes, I'm running, and then not run, and I don't want to say, no, I'm absolutely not running, and then something happens and I get crazier and decide to do it. But, you know,
Should I call your wife about this?
She has a lot to say
about it. That's what I was thinking about.
None of it would be able to be used on the air.
I'm sure.
A lot of four-letter words.
Yeah, this has come up with various friends of mine, and I have said, he's not running for the county mayor. He's not that crazy. So I'm sorry to my friends who I have told lies to that maybe he is that
crazy. I'm not
crazy.
That crazy today.
Well, yeah. So when must one declare for that thing?
I don't know, February or something like that.
So we have time to really suss this out kind of on and off the air.
Oh, yeah.
Probably off the air.
Yeah, yeah.
So I can cuss like she does.
I get a lot of that at home.
Well, that would be interesting. You're not an old man. You got time to do that for like one term, then live at Lakeside for about 3 months, and then resume your normal life.
Yeah, maybe I'm not drinking enough and I need to find reasons to drink more.
That could be, that would be, I think, the green light to buy handles of Jack Daniels.
There's a silver lining in every gray cloud.
Well, that's interesting. What do we see as current topics? And I am not, it's only Wednesday, but I'm not going to statues or kneeling. Yes, we have to. Friday is the statue meeting up there in wherever the hell they're going outside
Athens,
of Nashville.
Athens, Tennessee.
And so these 29 ne'er-do-wells, some black, some white, have all gathered together to make the decision about these statues. Finally. It was Kyle Veazey's observation that if they, which does seem kind of likely, which is odd to me, put this off for 4 more months, that the call will be made locally. We're taking them down and putting them someplace until we decide where they should be appropriately placed, like in a museum or in Shiloh, because we haven't got time to have police cars parked
or
money spent on this anymore. And I'm sure that the mayor is up to his eye teeth, and he's sick of, we're all sick of hearing about it. Something's got to give pronto.
Well, it's just a discussion item on the agenda for the Tennessee Historical Commission.
A discussion, not a vote.
Maybe. there might. Let's hope there's a
vote. Because they're so busy with other stuff.
Let's hope it returns the control to the local governments. But if they don't, I think that opens the way for some judicial action on this, citing the concerns of time and resources for the police department being able to, you know, done better. And so some resolution will come from that, but you'll have to pray to the courts for that.
So we have a police officer in one car sitting there in that statue. Are there, he's right by it for his 12-hour shift.
I don't know the totality. Like
I saw a there, shot this yeah. morning of a car.
I mean, they're there at certain times. I don't know if they're there, yeah. you know, 24 hours a day. But, you know, hopefully they'll just do the right thing. If not, you just got to continue to work the process and go to the courts and beg for relief. And then we'll see what happens with that. So we'll probably still be talking about this in the, you know, certainly the ramp up to April.
I can't wait.
The NFL thing, that boy, that seems like a sexy issue. But
it's
meanwhile,
one more thing that we turn into politics, and they have completely distorted the intent of it. It began as one thing, and now it's turned into something else, and nobody understands it. Everybody has an opinion about it, even the president who fed the fire.
And if I could ask something of the Drake in the morning listenership, every
eight people, I believe.
The dozens and dozens of people listening. If every time someone talks to you about the NFL, bring up Puerto Rico. You know, that is a humanitarian crisis. Those are American citizens down there.
Yep.
And, you know, let's MFers, keep your eye on the ball.
Well said.
You know, and so if someone says, well, what do you think about Colin Kaepernick or whatever, say, I think 38% of the people in Puerto Rico don't have water.
Yeah.
And not to you know, denigrate what those players are protesting and racial injustice in our country and stuff, but that is a historic problem that we're going to be dealing with for a long time. We have an acute need down in Puerto Rico right now, and let's stay focused on it. Mm-hmm. Let's get this right, and we haven't yet, and we really need to. So you've got to prioritize your focus, and you know, we want to give you enough time to continue looking at your smartphone, but if someone brings up the NFL, turn them back to Puerto Rico.
Good job. Thank you, sir. Have a nice Wednesday, and we'll talk to
Hump
you
day.
Again. And yeah, yippee! And but that's good advice. So let's keep that in mind. Thank you, Shay Flynn. We'll do a break and come right back. This might be the Foo Fighters right here. I think it may be.
Email us anytime at mail@drakeinthemorning.com.